Chapter 54, Merin 12. Arador was dead. Merin had seen men die before. Despite superior equipment and training, the Aleth spearmen had hardly been immune to danger. Arrows had claimed their share, and Prahlan spears an equal portion. Heavy infantrymen with maces and hammers had occasionally wreaked havoc on Merin's line, and, even more rarely, his companions had faced the terrifying blade of the Shardbearer. He had lost squadmates, even friends, to that near-unstoppable force. But Arador's death was different. Arador was something more. He had been so confident and so capable. Everyone knew Arador was one of the best duelists in Alethkar. Merin had seen his performances both on the practice field and while fighting the assassins that night of the dueling competition. Arador represented nobility, the new nobility, the truth that Merin had learned it to be. Not distant or ponderous, but affable and helpful. Arador had bespoken a simple honor which went beyond words read by monks or scribes, a goodness even the stories hadn't quite been able to capture. He was like Lord Dalinar. Such men weren't supposed to be mortal. Merin shivered slightly, leaning against the corner of his cell, the flats of two different walls scraping his back. The room was bare, without furniture or even blankets. The guards had only given him a rusting chamber pot and a small bowl to hold his meals. The room was barely tall enough for him to stand, and he could cross from one side to the other in 5 paces. He hadn't been given any opportunity to explain himself. The guards who brought his food never spoke to him. King Elokar obviously felt no need to demand information from his captives. He just wanted Merin to suffer. And Renarin, too, Merin thought sickly. If I was going to get myself into this, I could have at least left poor Renarin behind. He had heard nothing of a younger Kolin. Merin couldn't tell if there were any other cells in the hallway, but if there were, Renarin hadn't answered to his calls. Merin shivered again, pulling his cloak close. At least they had let him keep that. His cloak, Lord Dalinar's cloak. Lord Dalinar, who had just lost his second of 3 sons. Did he know yet? How would he react? He'll fight, Merin thought. He'll have to. How could the king do such a thing, putting his cousin's head upon a spear like that? Arador saved the king's life that night. I could barely duel a blind man. Arador defeated those Shardbearers, and now he's dead. Hopefully Arador had died in battle. Even King Elokar couldn't have been cruel enough to execute his own cousin. But Jezenrosh was the king's cousin too, and the king had risen against him. Arador had believed the king was wrong, had believed it strongly enough to disobey his father's commands. What was it he had said the day of his departure? There's something very convenient about the way those assassins struck, giving the king a perfect opportunity to move against Crossguard. Could a man be so eager for war that he would exaggerate an attempt on his own life? Arador's desiccated head, lit by uncertain torches, was an image not easily forgotten. Even if the king hadn't gone to war under false causes, then he had at least been responsible for Arador's death and desecration. This was the man Merin supposedly served, the man the ballads and the Way of Kings said was supposed to be the most honorable man in the realm. He was also the man whose life Merin had helped save on 2 separate occasions. It didn't make sense. Why would the Almighty preserve King Elokar's life under such remarkable circumstances, only to let him act the tyrant upon his own people? What of Merin's supposed heroism? His great deed, the salvation of the king and earning of his shard blade, suddenly seemed tainted. Merin's nobility was linked to that of the king. If Elokar was unworthy of his station, then that transformed Merin's act from one of holy bravery into something more like random misfortune. The questions bothered him so much that he actually asked his guards to bring him a monk so he could demand to know why the Almighty would preserve one man just so that he could murder a much better one. The guards, of course, ignored the request. They only came to bring food, and even that happened far less often than Marin would have liked. In fact, it appeared that his cell was completely unguarded. His small barred window provided an empty view of a blank hallway. It was lit only by the sunlight that must have come in through an unseen window. The days passed in painful lethargy. The room was maddeningly small. The closed-in walls, with no sight of the sky, made him frantic at times. His head still hurt from the blow he had taken, and Arador's death weighed upon him, mixing with his grief for Lord Dalinar, who probably thought Renarin dead too. It was nearly too much. As his worries loomed, Marin began to fear for his sanity. He was rescued by an unlikely source. It happened by accident during a moment of particular desperation. Logically, Marin knew the walls of his cell were made of immobile stone, and yet he could see them creeping forward, sliding toward him. Rather than snapping, however, he found himself seeking refuge in the now familiar stances Vasher had taught him. Strangely, the forms brought him a measure of peace to combat the frustrations of captivity. He had learned long ago, as a young spearman, that focus was the first skill a warrior should learn. The man who could focus on the battlefield, remembering his training despite arrows, screams, and enemy spears, was usually the man who lived. Vasher had expanded upon this training, forcing Marin to focus on his stances and styles until he knew their moves as part of himself. It appeared that within this focus, the sounds and dangers of battle weren't the only things that could be ignored. It allowed him to push back the walls, breathe deeply despite his enclosure, and keep himself strong. The forms didn't help with his grief, but at least he didn't have to fight depression and claustrophobia at the same time. Either one alone was more than bad enough. Marin stared at his finger, focusing on the double images in front of him. Slowly, he let one eye become dominant, and one of his finger images became clear, then invisible. He smoothly switched his attention to the other eye, letting one image of his finger fade away while the other one reappeared. He couldn't make both disappear at once yet, but he was getting close. A few more days of meditation, and he would have it. A few more days. Before his captivity, he would have groaned at the thought of such forced meditation. Now, however, he knew that he needed to fill his time and his mind, lest he think too hard about his small enclosure. And so, when his body tired of the dueling forms, he moved on to the little meditation exercise Vasher had taught him. Marin had heard that monks spent long hours in meditation, pondering philosophy, or sometimes thinking about nothing at all, instead just letting their minds be clear. Perhaps Vasher had gotten this particular exercise from some form of monastic training. Whatever the original source, Marin was grateful for it. It wasn't performing its original function. Marin was beginning to doubt he would ever return to Kolinar to learn to skep, whatever that was. However, the meditative exercise was serving a far more vital purpose. It was keeping Marin sane. Sane for what, he still wasn't sure. The cut of stone in the walls told him he was probably being held in Rel Aram. Either King Elokar would order Marin executed for treason, or he would order Marin released to Lord Dalinar, who in turn would undoubtedly strip Marin of rank and blade. After all, that was what Marin had earned through his disobedience. Marin paused, letting his eyes focus and lowering his finger. Had he imagined that sound? A small stone from the wall directly in front of him suddenly popped free and fell to the floor with a crack. Marin stared at it for a dumbfounded second, then looked up.
"There you are," said a muffled yet familiar voice. "I thought the rock would never wiggle free. How are you holding up?"
"Renarin?" Marin said, jumping to his feet in an enthusiastic motion. The hole was in the back wall, the one opposite the door.
"Renarin, where are you?"
"I'm in a cell, of course," Renarin replied. "Much like yours, I suspect. I would have spoken to you earlier, but I've been busy."
"Busy?"
Marin said, rubbing his fingers along the hole's sides, trying to expand it. There were a few cracks in the wall here, where the stones had settled over time, but none of the others seemed loose.
Busy how? You said you're in a cell.
Renarin didn't respond.
Renarin?
Marin said, a bit frantic.
Yes,
a distracted voice said a moment later.
I'm glad you're all right, Marin, but I do need to get back to my work.
Blessed winds, Marin thought. He's snapped, like I almost did.
Renarin, how can you talk like that?
Marin said.
How can you be so calm after what happened to Arador? I knew Arador was dead before we left Kolinar,
the voice responded.
Or, well, I knew he was dead without actually knowing it. Anyway, I was ready for what we found. We have to think of other things now. Other works. The ones who control this palace could very well capture all of Alethkar unless we find a way to help.
Marin paused.
Those who control the palace?
He asked.
Renarin, what are you talking about?
No response.
Renarin?
Marin asked a little more loudly.
Who controls the palace?
The Vaedans,
Renarin eventually said.
That's right. You were still unconscious. They kept hitting you to keep you down. Men fear shardbearers even when they are unarmed. Those weren't Aleths who took us, Marin. They were too big, too Vaeden. Anyway, they've taken the Oath Gates. I saw their army as we rode up into the city. It was big.
Marin stepped back, blinking in surprise.
The Vaedans? Invading Alethkar?
With the Aleth armies weakened from fighting one another. Even to his untrained strategic senses, that sounded very bad.
We might be able to do something,
Renarin was saying through the hole.
I'm not sure yet. I've still got so much work to do.
Us?
Marin asked with a sinking feeling.
Renarin, we're locked in cells. Besides, without my blade, what am I? Even with it, I couldn't help Arador.
Throughout my time in Kolinar, I kept wondering what my place was. I could never find it. Maybe that's because I didn't have a place. I wasn't supposed to be there.
Possibly true,
Renarin said.
Possibly untrue. I really don't know yet. But you were the one who convinced me to go try and save Arador, and we knew that was a hopeless battle. What reason do we have to give up now when things are remarkably less predictable?
Less predictable? Marin asked.
Renarin, we're locked in a dungeon. And unless you know of a couple more loose stones, we're probably going to be here for a while.
You might want to look for more stones,
Renarin said.
Rel Arum is well built, but sometimes we forget how old it is. The Oath Pact kings built it in the 6th epoch. That makes the palace a good 2,000 years old. Still, I doubt you'll be able to pry your way out. Some chipped rocks in a dividing wall are one thing, but a potential escape route? Well, don't hope too much. Now, if you'll excuse me?
Excuse you,
Marin said. What is so pressing?
Work,
Renarin said distractedly.
Work?
Marin asked.
What work?
There was no response. Marin nearly screamed in frustration, not wanting to go back to the lone silence.
Renarin,
he said, grasping for anything.
Renarin, I'm sorry your sphere got destroyed.
At first he assumed there would be no response. Then, blessedly, Renarin's voice returned, though much weaker this time.
Destroyed?
Renarin asked.
Oh, I broke that on purpose.
On purpose? Marin asked with surprise.
Of course,
Renarin said.
How else was I going to get a shard of stone small enough to slip past our captors?
Oh, and I grabbed this for you.
There was a slight scraping sound. Marin peeked through the hole between their cells as Renarin pushed something through, forcing it forward with his soup spoon. Marin reached out to catch the object just as it plopped free from the wall. It was a shiny, black opal. Marin's opal, from his shard blade. Marin stood in stunned amazement for a full 10 heartbeats.
Renarin,
he said with a joyful cry.
Where? How?
Right after I broke the onyx sphere,
Renarin said.
I pretended to stumble, then grabbed your opal off the ground. There were so many pieces of black rock on the stone then that they didn't notice one missing, even if it was a bit larger. I figured you would want it.
Marin closed his fingers around the smooth stone. He almost felt like he had been given a piece of himself back. A sane, hopeful piece. As long as he had his opal, he could restore his blade, if he ever managed to get another one.
Thank you, Renarin, he said through the hole.
There was, however, no response. Whatever weirdness Renarin was about, it had claimed his attention again.